it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have received some phone calls, and I want to thank you for taking the time. They loved the interview that I had with Pastor Matt First. One gentleman actually told me, I know you say this before, Jerry, but really, that was the fastest hour in radio. He said it was such a great program, and Matt First is such an outstanding gentleman, scholar, an outstanding pastor, and I cannot thank Matt enough taking time out of his busy schedule to take part and be a part of our program, and I pray that you received a blessing from that program. We are going to do Secrets this week, my favorite program of the month. It's volume number 321. And it's almost hard to fathom that we have done this many programs covering topics that you're not going to get on controlled media, that some may never ever know about if it wasn't brought to you through the airwaves of Power of Prophecy. Now, Tex did these for decades, almost three of them. And it is my favorite show because we're not tied to a topic. We can jump all over the place, and I have got a bunch of craziness to bring to you today. But before we get started, I want to talk to you. My buddy Cliff asked me to do a scoreboard, and I've kind of taken a break on it for a while because, well, there's no more COVID deaths, are there? You don't hear about it in the news every day. They're not browbeating you. They're not trying to scare you into taking this jab. So all of a sudden, it's out of the news. Now, if you recall last summer, when the flu, it's not an environment where the flu will proliferate because of heat and because of dry air, it kills that virus. But we still had thousands and thousands of cases last year. And we had thousands of so-called deaths due to COVID. But have you heard anything on your news lately? No. Well, I looked to the CDC website. Yeah, I know. It's the Center for Disastrous Consequences. It's not what you think it is, because it is in the big pharma world, it's a cohort in crime. And I see last week were 186 deaths attributed to COVID. There were almost 1,000 people who passed away because of pneumonia. So we don't hear things about pneumonia, and they add flu. And there were 8 flu deaths, according to the CDC. So that would give you 967 flu deaths because they combine flu and pneumonia because they got to scare you. Got to get the jab. Got to get this shot. Got to get this so-called vaccine. 186 COVID deaths. And I went to Bloomberg's page. It's called Tracking COVID-19. And I looked, and there's nothing. Now, I did look. Colorado, they've got a number next to it. It says 1,537 cases. But when you click on the bottom of the page for that Colorado graphic, there's none. And it hasn't been updated since, early March. So Bloomberg's not even worried about this because it's a farce. But one number that continues to grow day after day, year after year, is the number of abortions in this country. Now, thankfully, the Supreme Court did away with Roe v. Wade. But there are still a number of states who are happily terminating pregnancies, murdering innocent babies, just murdering them. And I've got an article I want to talk to you about, which is why I'm doing a scoreboard. So far this year, according to the abortion counter, over 481,000 abortions have been committed, murder, in the United States this year. And although there are some states who have pretty much done away with abortion, there are a number of states that are taking in women who, well, they couldn't keep their pants on, for lack of a better term, and got knocked up. There are other things that they could have done. Abstinence is one of them. But if they choose to engage in relations with men without some form of control, this is going to happen. And they call this women's health. I don't understand how it's women's health when it's the woman and the man who did it that created this infant. And in the infinite wisdom of Planned Parenthood and their wordsmiths, women's health means that we have to get rid of this child growing inside her. Doesn't make sense to me. It's heinous. Well, this article was written by Ben Johnson at WashingtonStand.com. And according to Ben, the best guess that they're able to come up with is they have saved about 200,000 lives of innocent children because of doing away with Roe v. Wade. The case is Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, and that's the case that overturned Roe v. Wade. There are 25 states who have enacted pro-life protection. Think about 200,000 babies being born. Can you imagine the smiles that they have? There is nothing better than the laugh of a little baby. The smiles, the way they light up when someone close to them is around. It is precious. It is God's gift to us as parents to be able to experience this. And according to this, about 200,000 babies have been saved. That's enough people to populate Grand Rapids, Michigan, Vancouver, Washington, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 200,000. It's a step in the right direction. We're not there completely, but it's close. We need 400,000 more. The Republicans and the conservatives and the Christians were ecstatic that this was overturned. The Democrats, or demon rats, not so much. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, a Democrat from New York, decided he needed a quote from the Bible, and he twisted this for his purposes. He said, quote, Scripture says suffering may endure during the long night, but joy will cometh in the morning. But Jeffries didn't lament on the fact that anybody that would do harm to one of Christ's little ones would be better off having a millstone tied around his neck and dropped in the sea, did he? No. So he twisted Scripture because he likes killing babies. He said the Supreme Court, the Dobbs decision, quote, one of the most egregious and offensive decisions the Supreme Court has ever rendered in its history. Representative Diana DeGette from Colorado, another demon rat, quote, we are not going to stop until Roe v. Wade is the law of the land once again. The problem is Roe v. Wade was legislation given down by the Supreme Court. That's not their job. That's not part of the checks and balances. They are to rule on the constitutionality of a law, not make law. Now, states that have favored legalized abortion have increased 2,100. They've seen an increase of 2,100 additional abortions each month from June to December of 2022. pro-life states were able to experience 7,300 fewer abortions each month in this same time period. Got to keep working on our politicians. Got to get them to quit killing babies. Speaking of politicians, this lieutenant governor from Virginia, I think she is a hoot, and I enjoy listening to her speak. She's on TV not very often because she's extremely conservative, but she's very wise. She was on Fox News with Martha McCallum. I got this from the Daily Wire. I didn't listen to Fox News, and I don't listen to Martha McCallum. But this was an article that I came across, and it cracked me up because I listened to what Miss Sears, Winsome Sears, said about Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. I want you to listen to what she has to say.
What you have is a justice who was chosen because she's black and because she's a woman.
She's a diversity hire for the Supreme Court. And, well, she was not happy with the other justices who approved and got rid of affirmative action. It happened end of June, and the rulings were against Harvard University and the University of North Carolina. Their affirmative action policies had a profound effect on the admission process, and not in a good way for most of society. It slanted one way. I don't know what's wrong with a meritocracy. If you make the grades, if you score high enough on your ACT or SAT, if they still allow those tests as part of the admissions process, you have admissions essays that you can have the candidates write, telling you why they want to go to your university and why they should be at your university. That's fine. But to favor one group of people over another is unconstitutional, according to our Supreme Court now. It was brought to the Supreme Court by Students for Fair Admissions. They accused these two universities of unfairly factoring race in their admissions processes. They pointed to high test scores of Asian Americans and white applicants who were rejected. Well, this ruling by the Supreme Court is going to have wide-ranging effects on universities across the country. Is that a bad thing? No. What would happen if it was reversed? If it was only whites and Asians that were granted access to universities exclusively? Or if admissions processes were slanted to favor those two groups? People would be in an uproar. I know I would be. It should be a meritocracy. You should earn that right to attend that university. It should be based on your level of commitment to maintaining a good grade in high school, to studying, to preparing for the admissions tests. And if they require an essay, there are a number of teachers that you have had that will help you write an essay. You can write it. They can edit it. They can suggest changes. And then everybody has a fair shot at getting into a certain university. Oh, man, I came across this. This was in the Blaze. I saw it first on Twitter, and I followed the link. It was hilarious. So this woman was getting married, and she told her mother, the mother of the bride, that she didn't want her uncle to attend the wedding. She's a progressive. He's a conservative. So the mom explained in a letter she wrote to an advice columnist. She wrote, quote, "Dear Amy, 4 months before my daughter's wedding, she told me her uncle, my brother Dave, made her feel unsafe and didn't want him to be there as a guest. She asked me not to invite him. My daughter is very politically progressive, go figure, as are many of her friends, go figure. And although she and Dave have always had a good relationship, I thought, he is a conservative voter and has supported candidates that we all abhor. Now, the mom of the bride claimed that it was a nice note that she wrote to her brother Dave and told him that they would not feel comfortable if he came to the wedding, and that's why he wasn't being invited. Dave didn't reply. Afterwards, the mother of the bride sent a card and photos from the wedding to her brother Dave and still hasn't heard from him. But the mother continued in her letter to Amy, quote, "Another problem is that Dave has not sent my daughter and son-in-law a wedding gift. In the past, Dave has given family members wedding checks in excess of $1,000. She says she was counting on receiving the same type of gift." She continues, "Dave's behavior is upsetting and embarrassing to me. How can I get my brother to recognize and change his petty behavior?" Close quote. So Dave's being petty. He wasn't invited to the wedding. His voting has created a divide between him and the progressives in the other part of the family. Amy actually had good advice. Quote, "Brides who are too afraid of family members to invite them to a family wedding don't then get the pleasure of receiving their money." Close quote. Oh, my. First Amendment rule. You have the right to free speech, as long as it doesn't offend me. That's the progressive mindset. That's why they didn't want Dave to come to the wedding. He wouldn't have talked politics. He would have been happy to watch his niece get married. I'm quite sure of this. Instead, and this is always the case, isn't it? You can have a discussion, and if the person who is progressive or on the loony left, as I call it, they are trying to convince you that they are correct, a conservative will sit there and listen to their argument. But if a conservative offers a rebuttal, they don't want to hear it and they walk off. That is the mindset of these progressives. They believe they are so right that their way is the only way that they refuse to accept anybody else's advice. Well, I don't know if the mom had took the advice from Amy to heart or not, but oh my, it cracked me up. It's too funny. Now he's not sending money to my daughter, and my daughter's quite upset that she hasn't gotten her wedding gift. I wouldn't send her anything either. Good night, nurse. Now, here's one. This has continued a trend. 47 straight months, there have been record-setting gun sales in the United States. The politicians are continually demanding more gun control. But Americans, seeing that the police are being defunded, seeing that George Soros has bought and paid for prosecutors, are fearful that these criminals who have no bail, that are getting run through the system and right back out, are getting away with all these crimes, and law-abiding citizens are fearful for their safety and their family safety. And they're going out and they're buying guns. And it looks like lots of them. 47 straight months with record-setting gun sales. Americans observing their Second Amendment right. Came across this at Headline USA, written by Jacob Bruns. Brandon Jackson is an American man who was accused of racism by his doorbell. That's right. He's got a Ring doorbell. And he had a package delivered by Amazon, and the delivery driver misheard what was being said by this guy's doorbell, and he reported him to Amazon, and they cut him off. And the problem is that Brandon has what he calls a smart home. He uses his Alexa device to interact between all of his devices and automations in his house. Aha! This is a problem. On the whim, without investigation, Amazon cut him off. Alexa wouldn't work. His smart devices wouldn't work. You know, is his thermostat controlled by a smart device? Can he not go adjust his temperature? That's the problem with having these so-called personal assistants take over your life. You're being weeded in to the Big Brother system. And there are repercussions, as Brandon found out. Mr. Jackson began investigating this reasoning by Amazon behind his being cut off. And he asked an Amazon executive who revealed that they believed him to be a racist because of the remarks he made to a delivery driver. Jackson said, quote, "I was told that the driver who had delivered my package reported receiving racist remarks from my Ring doorbell." So Jackson went and looked at the footage of his Ring doorbell, and he did notice that the delivery driver did have earphones in his ears. Chances are he misheard or he was having a bad day and figured, you know what, I'm turning this guy in. Let's see what happens. There's no telling. But when you allow a computer, and think about artificial intelligence, this is what's coming. If the elite have their way, AI will take over everything. And as Klaus Schwab and his flunkies at the World Economic Forum have said, you will own nothing and you will lick it. Speaking of not liking it, you know, growing up as a kid, we've always had propane furnace and a propane stove. And when we lived on base in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, that's where I was born, when we lived on base, we had natural gas. So my entire 60 years, I have used a gas stove, a gas heater, but now, thanks to the nut jobs in D.C., and the lobbyists are doing a great job of this, they are pushing banning gas stoves, gas heaters. They want you to use electricity. Well, they've taken it a step further in New York City. New York City's Department of Environmental Protection has drafted new rules on coal and wood-fired pizza ovens. That's right. If they were installed before May 2016, these restaurants have to purchase emission control devices. They're going to do away with wood-fired pizza ovens because they're bad for the environment. Really. What about China? Nobody talks about the pollution that China's putting out there, but that's another story. The City Council Republican Minority Leader Joe Borelli tweeted out, quote, "We will save the planet by putting 9 or 10 fantastic New York City pizzerias out of business. Gonna really change things for you guys," close quote. A Democrat turned Republican Brooklyn councilman, Ari Kagan, has urged city officials to leave Totono's Crust Coal Oven Pizzeria on Coney Island alone. He said, quote, "Socialist Democrats believe Totono's Pizza in Coney Island is a bigger threat to public safety than their defund New York Police Department and pro-criminal policies," close quote. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman said, quote, "You don't mess with a New Yorker's pizza or bagels, period. Here in Nassau, your local pizza place will continue to be able to make your pie the same way they have for decades. We have some of the best pizza in the world, and it's going to stay that way," close quote. So, in honor of the Boston Tea Party, there was a man, I saw the video, this guy had a box, and it looked like it was an extra large pizza pie. And he stood in front of City Hall, and he threw slices of pizza at City Hall in his protest. Good for him. Banning wood or coal-fired stoves. Oh, my. Yeah, that's really going to save the planet. You know, the censorship of misinformation, so-called, because that's what the Biden administration claims, that some medical experts who doubted anything about the COVID doctrines that were implemented, the lockdowns, the masks, the distancing, all of these, anybody who said anything different, they were banned by social media, big tech, okay? Same thing goes if you have anything to say about abortion. Unless you're for abortion, you get banned by big tech. Well, there is a judge out here that has ruled against big tech and the Biden administration. He is Chief District Judge of U.S. District Court for the Western District of Louisiana, and he questioned the administration's encroachment on the First Amendment during a hearing in the case of Missouri v. Biden. The administration has been peppering social media tech giants to flag misinformation, and this has raised severe concern about controlling the narrative. And if you look at steps the Biden administration has taken, Jen Psaki included, they're all about curtailing and controlling what you hear. How many positive things did you hear about ivermectin? None? Probably so, because they didn't want people to take it. Hydroxychloroquine, that was another taboo topic for people to talk about. Can't use it on social media, you got banned. There was evidence presented in court where Facebook admitted to suppressing content that could induce vaccine hesitancy, even if that content was factually accurate. Does that remind you of anything? Maybe 1984 by Orwell? Doublethink? On one hand, they're claiming that they are upholding the rights of the citizens, but on the other, they're colluding with social media giants to suppress so-called misinformation. You remember Mayorkas tried to put together the Ministry of Truth, where they were going to suppress more information from you? Thankfully, people woke up and said, oh, we're not going to do that. No, no, no. But this is getting severe with this administration. Big Brother is watching. And with smart TVs and smart devices, they're gathering more and more data on you. And I saw Christopher Wray of the FBI testifying before Congress. And they asked him about Bank of America giving information to the FBI about gun purchases. A gun registry in this country is illegal, yet the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the FBI are all collecting data on gun owners. It's against the Constitution, but they do it anyway. Is this leading to more and more control over you and me? It sure sounds like it. I, for one, don't have an Alexa. I don't want one of these so-called smart assistants in my abode. I don't want it in my office. And Sandra doesn't either. I mean, do you want to cede control to Big Brother over your life? If you do, you'll be happy to go into one of those 15-minute cities where you live with millions of other people, and everything you need is within walking distance. If you need to go further down, you can take a tram or a taxi, or you can walk or bike. They don't want you to own cars. They don't want you to own your own home, and they don't want you to own your own clothes. They want you to rent everything. You talk about wealth distribution, that's what they're pushing, because they want your money, and they want to separate you from having any. You will own nothing and you will like it. That's the end game. And they want total control over all of us. That's going to take care of the first half. Thank you for tuning in and giving me some of your time. We're going to take a brief pause, and when I come back, we're going to dive right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, Secrets, Volume 321. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. We offer an outstanding book written by Josh Hawley entitled The Tyranny of Big Tech. Amassing unimaginable amounts of personal data, big tech giants like Google, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, once symbols of American ingenuity and freedom have become a techno-oligarchy with overwhelming economic and political power. Decades of unchecked data collection have given big tech more targeted control over Americans' daily lives than any company or government in the world. During Ray's testimony, one of the congressmen asked him, "Do you know how much it takes to buy Congress? $250 million. That's how much money Google, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and other big tech companies paid lobbyists, probably donated to political action committees to get these people reelected. $250 million that big tech parted with to influence Congress to give them more control. And Josh Hawley wrote this book. In Tyranny of Big Tech, Senator Hawley of Missouri argues that these mega corporations, who are controlled by robber barons of the modern era, are the gravest threat to American liberty in decades. To reverse this course, Hawley argues we must correct progressive mistakes of the past. That means recovering the link between liberty and democratic participation, building an economy that makes the working class strong, independent, and beholden to no one, and curb the influence of corporate and political elites. Big tech and its allies do not deal gently with those who cross them. But Senator Hawley proudly bears his battle scars. Hubris is dangerous. The time is now for us to overcome the tyranny of big tech and reshape the business and legal landscape of the digital world. This is a 200-page hardcover book written by Senator Josh Hawley. We're only asking $30. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $36. The Tyranny of Big Tech. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to call us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. If you don't get us, please leave your name, number, and a brief message. We'll call you back, I promise. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those same charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for the Tyranny of Big Tech right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, shipping method, charge card, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. If you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. The Tyranny of Big Tech, $36 postpaid. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. We're covering Secrets this week, volume 321. There has been a huge push for people to buy electric vehicles. And I did a program a while back called Cause and Effect. Do you know how we fund the infrastructure, the roadways, the bridges, the maintenance and upkeep and safety of bridges is through tax on gasoline? Well, according to a report I'm looking at, it used to be that electric vehicles were about 0.1% of all vehicle sales in the United States. And it jumped up to almost 4% in the last couple of years. So there are more and more electric cars out there. The Prius was a hybrid. That was a huge seller because it ran on battery and gasoline. The problem is, if you're running on electricity, you're not paying gasoline tax. How are you going to fix the roadways? Aha. Well, now we have to do something. Now they are putting together a pilot program where they put in a little device and they track your vehicle mileage. Yep. So you pay so many cents per mile that you drive. You go to the grocery store. If you live in the country in Texas and go to the grocery store, which is 20 minutes away, you're going to pay for that mileage. And that's coming and going. So that's 20 miles. You got to pay 40 miles total. You're going to pay for it. It was started in Oregon. It's also in Utah and Virginia. And the federal government has decided that they need to implement its own pilot program thanks to the infrastructure bill that Nancy Pelosi and the other demon rats were able to push through Congress. That's right. They've allocated $125 million to start this study. Road usage charges. Hawaii is going to join in and become the fourth state here pretty soon. Now, some states have decided that, well, to get more money from the vehicle owners, we're going to increase the amount we charge them for vehicular taxes to keep your tags current, or registration fees on EVs. I told you about a proposed bill that was introduced in the Illinois legislature that was going to add $1,000 a year to your tax for your EV so you could register it to drive legally on the road. Some are adding a tax to your kilowatt per hour at these electric vehicle charging stations, so you're paying for it there. Last year, Colorado decided to add a 27-cent tax to home deliveries from Amazon and other online retailers. They're going to get you one way or the other. But think about this. Think about how heavy these EVs are. Most of the weight is in the batteries, right? How else are you going to be able to drive more than 100 miles? Bigger batteries. These heavier cars and trucks are doing more damage to the highways than gasoline-powered cars. There was a study at the University of Leeds in the United Kingdom. The average electrical car puts 2.25 times more stress on the road than a regular gasoline-powered car. 2.25 more times. That's just on the car. That's not a big truck, okay? That's just a car. Big trucks, they do almost 2 times more damage than a big truck, dump truck, 18-wheeler, whatever you can imagine being heavy. What they're doing is they're putting added stress on the roadways, which are cracking the asphalt. They're leading to huge potholes. And all of a sudden, well, since we're not collecting enough money on gasoline tax, we can't afford to repair the roads. So you're going to have to drive around great big potholes. But there is another worry. What about bridges? You've seen, or you've heard, I hope, about parking garages collapsing in on itself because there were a number of EVs parked in the parking garage and the concrete wasn't made to support that much weight and it's cracking from the pillars, and they're collapsing downward. Gravity is not your friend when it comes to being on the bottom row and a bunch of EVs above you. It'd make a bad day, that's for sure. But also consider this, a collision. If you've got a GMC Hummer that's all electric, it weighs about 9,000 pounds. If you're in a car or a truck that weighs 3,600 pounds, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to destroy your vehicle and potentially cause life-taking accidents. This push by Biden and these green nut jobs for electric vehicles is not beneficial. I'm seriously concerned about what's coming down the pike. Speaking of coming down the pike from this administration, oh, they've had another great idea to combat global warming, climate change, whatever you want to call it. They called it global warming to start with because of Al Gore and his craziness. They have come out with a 44-page report entitled Congressionally Mandated Research Plan and an Initial Research Governance Framework Related to Solar Radiation Modification. They also have an acronym, SRM, Solar Radiation Modification. What does this mean? They want to block out the sun. Now, do the math in your head. They want to block out the sun to cool the planet. How is the solar panel going to work if they block the sun? They want to black out your sky. It's already bad enough with the chemtrails, right? But they want to blot out the sun so it'll cool the Earth's surface. Oh, nothing could go wrong here, right? Of course, these people are engineers and they're scientists, and they're so smart, right? Cause and effect. Doesn't compute, does it? Politico actually reported on this. Quote, the White House offered measured support for the idea of studying how to block sunlight from hitting Earth's surface as a way to limit global warming. The controversial concept known as solar radiation modification is a potentially effective response to fighting climate change. But its effects are unknown as far as stemming or altering the chemical makeup of the atmosphere. So they don't know what's going to happen. They're going to study it, I guess. And you know the reason they want to do the study? What about China? What if they want to block out the sun? They're building coal-fired power plants. Sure, they can do without solar panels. Why not? You want to weaken somebody? You take away their infrastructure. In war, the first thing you do is find the supply lines and you obliterate them. Because if you can't get food, water, ammunition, and diesel or gasoline to the front, those people aren't going anywhere. And it's easy pickings. So if China were to blot out the sun and our solar panels don't work, there's no electricity, right? Powerline Stephen Hayward points out that the sort of research being discussed here was actually forbidden territory for the enviro wackos until just recently. Good night, nurse. Let's blot out the sun. Why not? I got this from the Daily Signal. Ben Collier and Tyler O'Neill put it together. It's about the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center. Were you aware that leadership and staff members of the SPLC have been frequent visitors in the Biden White House? They actually got a hold of the visitor logs and has seen this alarming information. Think about this. The collaboration between his administration and the SPLC, it's extremely alarming. The federal government has ramped up its weaponization of domestic law enforcement and the intelligence agencies. Think about what they did to parents and parent protesting groups that were against the gender identity garbage and the Black Lives Matter and all this pride and transgenderism that the schools are pushing. Parents are fighting back. They have been labeled by the FBI as domestic terrorists. Is this part of the SPLC's hidden agenda? You gotta wonder. In the last 3 years, the SPLC has been in the White House at least 11 times. The co-author of this article, Tyler O'Neill, wrote a book, Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And Mr. O'Neill says that the SPLC has leveraged its history by ensuing the KKK into bankruptcy, and now it is branding mainstream conservative and Christian groups as hate groups and putting them on the same hate map as KKK chapters. February 16, 2023, the chief policy officer of the SPLC, LaShawn Warren, visited the White House to meet with Biden. Not soon after that, the White House tapped the SPLC to serve on a coalition curbing antisemitism. The SPLC added parental rights groups onto its hate map, Moms for Liberty, Parents Defending Education. They're on the same map as the KKK. And in this article, they claim you can expect a second wave of persecution that is targeted at mainstream Christian and conservative groups. Did you hear what happened in Atlanta? They're going to put a training center together out in the country for the police and the fire department. They have labeled it Cop City, all of the activists that are against us. It's Cop City. Thomas Webb Jurgens, have you heard the name? He is a lawyer for the SPLC. He is facing domestic terrorism charges after his arrest for a violent barrage of Molotov cocktails and rocks that were thrown at Atlanta police. The SPLC is supporting Jurgens. They said, quote, he was performing a public service, close quote. Do you remember in 2019 when Morris Deese was forced out? He was the co-founder of SPLC. It was revealed that there was workplace misconduct, racial discrimination, and sexual harassment performed by Morris Deese, so they got rid of him. There was a former employee of the SPLC who became a whistleblower. His name is Bob Moser. He left working for the SPLC around the time that Deese got canned. And he claimed that the SPLC has been running a cash grab scheme disguised as a noble effort for racial justice. He called SPLC's hate accusations a highly profitable scam. If the federal government continues to rely on the SPLC, despite this organization's questionable methods and track record, this should raise concerns about future domestic policy decisions in this corrupt administration. Talked about COVID earlier. Did you know there was a report submitted to The Lancet? Used to be one of the most respected medical journals out there. Talked about this when I had Dr. Andrew Wakefield on talking about his documentary Vaxxed. He was part of The Lancet, but he got dismissed. He lost his license to practice medicine. The English government canned him. There was a paper submitted to The Lancet. It reviewed 325 autopsies after the COVID jab, and this paper revealed 74% of the deaths were caused by this jab. It's written by cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough, Yale epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Risch, and colleagues at the Wellness Company. Less than 24 hours later, The Lancet removed this report, and there is a note where it was, says, quote, this preprint has been removed by preprints with The Lancet because the study's conclusions are not supported by the study methodology. Huh. In other words, it was removed because they don't want the truth out there. They don't want people knowing that the jab is causing death. The authors of this paper are at the top of their field. How do you conclude that their methodology is in error? Didn't even have a chance for peer review. It was yanked 24 hours later. This is another form of raw censorship, because they didn't toe the official narrative. The CDC hasn't even acknowledged a single death because of the jab. Autopsy evidence demonstrates otherwise, but it is clearly not what the U.S. public health establishment wants you to hear. Dr. Harvey Risch, one of the authors, told the Daily Skeptic he deems it, quote, pure government-directed censorship even after the Missouri v. Biden injunction. Meanwhile, my colleagues are studying what they call long vax, which is vaccine-caused damage, close quote. I was blessed that Paul Wittenberger came to Austin, and he interviewed me for part of his COVID Land series. I'm not sure if it will ever air what I had to say, but I brought up a very interesting point with Paul, and I told him, how many Amish people have you seen being diagnosed and dying from COVID? There's none. Is it because they weren't paying attention to controlled media? They weren't watching TV or listening to the garbage on controlled radio? Maybe. They weren't masking up. They weren't doing anything that they were told by the CDC and Dr. Fauci and all of the so-called medical experts emanating from D.C. Steve Kirsch has an outstanding Substack. And if you can find it, substack.com, and do a search for Steve Kirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H. He testified recently at the Pennsylvania State Senate. I want to read you what he said to the senators there in Pennsylvania. Quote, let's talk about the Amish. Yesterday I drove to Lancaster County. I drove to Amish country. I drove from house to house to house. I actually went to the house of a relative of Gideon King. He's the one person, the only known person in the Amish community who allegedly died from COVID that I'm aware of. Now they claim there may be up to 5 people in Lancaster County who died from COVID, but I was unable to get the names of 5 people. I offered a $2,500 reward on Twitter. Not a single person was able to name more than one person. They all named Gideon King, one person. There were 5 Amish people that died, let's just say. That means the Amish died at a rate 90 times lower than the infection fatality rate of the United States of America. 90 times lower. How's that possible? It's possible because the Amish aren't vaccinated. The Amish didn't follow a single guideline of the CDC. They didn't lock down. They didn't mask. They didn't social distance. They didn't vaccinate. And there were no mandates in the Amish community to get vaccinated. They basically ignored every single guideline the CDC gave us. Ignoring those guidelines meant a death rate 90 times lower than that of Americans. That's why I call it the jab. It's not a vaccine. And if you've read Ed Hendry's book entitled Vaccine Danger, you know why. Outstanding book. But this woke mindset is starting to infiltrate the medical field. We've seen it with the transgender movement. They're gladly giving these kids, children, puberty blockers. They're cutting off body parts. They're mutilating these children because it's a mental illness. And they have been indoctrinated in the public school system to believe that they should be a girl instead of a boy or a boy instead of a girl. They're indoctrinated. That's part of the woke mindset in the medical community. But they also have diversity quotas. That's right. There were documents obtained by a medical watchdog group called Do No Harm, and it was presented to the Daily Caller News Foundation. That's where I got this. The Blaze.com, written by Candace Hathaway. The Cleveland Clinic partnered with 110 recently. Now, 110's website says, quote, 110's mission is to hire, promote, and advance 1 million black individuals who do not have a four-year degree into family-sustaining careers over the next 10 years, close quote. This group states it takes a skill-first approach to ignite potential for generations to come. Black individuals who do not have a four-year degree are going to be put into the Cleveland Clinic, part of a quota. Now, Laura Morgan is the program manager at Do No Harm, and she said the clinic's diversity, equity, and inclusion hiring practice could deteriorate the quality of its patient care. Quote, this is bad for healthcare because it places all the focus on identity and race-based criteria instead of weighing merit and achievement for all applicants. My question to you, what do you call the guy that graduates last in his medical class? Doctor. If you don't want to take the best of the best of the best, and you're going to allow people that do not have a four-year degree to come into your clinic and tell you how to do things in the name of equity, inclusion, and diversity. As a patient, do you want to go to that clinic? I don't. I don't want a doctor who has been given carte blanche because of the skin tone that they have. If they have gone to school, gone to medical school, have gone through residency and proven that they are deserving, man, if they've got a good reputation with the members of the community that go to this clinic, boy, howdy, I don't care what they look like. I'll go see that doctor. But I don't want somebody who is just given something because of the skin tone. And you shouldn't either. Part of the mindset warping that's going on in public education happened at Marshall Simmons Middle School. The faculty there attempted to force the students to wear rainbow colors and use preferred pronouns. This is part of the indoctrination. Aha! Things did not quite go as planned. A bunch of students decided to counter-protest. They wore red, white, and blue and said that their pronouns are USA. One member of the faculty, a woke member I might say, said the students' refusal to participate in this event was, quote, intolerance, close quote. Eric M. Conte, the superintendent of the Burlington Select School District, wrote a letter condemning the kids and begged the woke mob for forgiveness. Quote, I recognize that discussions and celebrations of individual identity are complex and impacted by individual values, religions, and cultural norms, the result of which may include expressions of racism, anti-religious hate, ableism, and in this case, homophobia. The superintendent. You know who needs to get fired? Eric Conte, the superintendent. The teachers that push this garbage on these kids. We need to get back to teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, civics, social studies. They don't teach these kids how to balance a checkbook, how to do a job interview, nothing. But they teach them that they should be a girl or a boy because they're misgendered. They're indoctrinating these children. It's not going to end well for America. It is not going to end well for us at all. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. As always, I greatly appreciate it, and I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.